Welcome to Railberg Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're recapping this past weekend's rookie minicamp. I guess first let me take care of some house cleaning issues here. Thank you for your patience, those of you who have been looking for more episodes of Railbird Central. This past Friday, there was a power outage at Livestream's data center. There was nothing we could do about it among the hundreds, maybe even thousands of shows that air on the Livestream platform. None of them could broadcast on Friday morning. Not just us. It's not our fault. I wanted to do an episode. I was ready to do an episode. Just couldn't do it. Apologize about that. Apologize on top of that. Temporarily, if you're watching the live show, it hasn't been broadcasted on the Cheesehead TV homepage this morning. If you're watching, you're watching it on our live stream channel. This shouldn't affect anybody listening to the podcast whatsoever, so just go along your merry ways if you're listening to us on demand. But anyway, it's an issue we should get fixed shortly. It's a minor inconvenience at the moment, but we'll start putting them up at the Cheesehead TV homepage soon. Hopefully we'll get that issue resolved in the next, hopefully by Wednesday for our next episode, although I do make no guarantees. Minor inconvenience, we'll still be podcasting the show, putting it up on the Cheesehead TV blog, etc. So, anyway, okay, this past weekend, Packers rookie minicamp took place, orientation camp, as head coach Mike McCarthy likes to call it. They bring in basically four tiers of players to the Green Bay Packers rookie minicamp. First of all, the draft picks. There's nine of them, kind of the most highly touted rookies there are, and guys mostly expected to contribute to the team. By no means is every one of them guaranteed a roster spot, but they probably stand the best chances on the team of making it. On top of that, then there's the undrafted rookies. The Packers signed, I don't know what, a dozen or so of them after the draft ended. And these are guys who are talented, but have some flaws, have some warts. Adrian Hubbard, we talked about him on the last episode of Railbird Central in depth, is among those players, kind of one of the biggest names the Packers brought in. Packers, every year, they usually keep about three guys or so, two or three guys who end up being undrafted rookies that make the team. It's just tradition in Green Bay. These undrafted rookies come in, they keep a handful of them, and they end up being contributors. You know, Sam Shields went that route. You know, one of the biggest names who went on to become a star with the Packers just received a huge contract earlier this offseason. Huge contract. Undrafted rookie. On top of that, then there's the tryout players. The Packers had 28 tryout players this past weekend. That's a huge number. And today, so to bring us up to speed, Monday is decision day, according to general manager Ted Thompson, at least that's what he said. He would have some final decisions made by today, and for all we know, the decisions could have already been made. They just haven't finalized them or announced them yet, which tryout players the Packers will sign. And certainly there's no obligation for the Packers to sign any of these tryout players. They brought in 28. That's a big number. Typically, historically, the Packers sign a handful of them. They currently have two open roster spots. The Packers have 88 of 90 roster spots filled at the moment. That's not to say they couldn't sign a couple more tryout players. They would just have to clear room if they were to sign anything above and beyond two guys. They would have to release someone, cut somebody if they want to sign more than that. But you can bet, I mean, just based upon history, that the Packers will sign a guy or two, or maybe a few more. They always seem to do. Of course, the probably the best example, or the one most in people's minds recently, is Jarrett Boykin, who was a tryout player what 2 years ago. Ended up making the Packers roster and became a very big contributor last season. What did he have, like 600 yards receiving, something like that, and is being looked upon as a big part of the Packers offense here going forward. So, you know, guys who have gone the tryout route have made it. And, I think we're going to spend a good amount of time discussing one particular tryout player this episode here, former Oregon tight end Colt Lierla, who is the biggest name among the tryout players. There was some interesting ones in there. The linebacker out of UW-Whitewater, three-time national champion Cole Klotz, who we had on Railbird Central here prior to the NFL draft. Kind of cool that he got a chance, and we'll see if he makes it. A few other guys, James Sims, we discussed him a few episodes back, a running back from the University of Kansas, kind of a bigger name among the tryout players. We'll see how all these guys fare, but a lot of attention on Colt Lierla for a variety of reasons. A talented but troubled player. I think that's him in a nutshell. That's how most people are describing him. Talented, but troubled. Let's go through the good stuff first. I mean, here is a guy who he spent three seasons, or, you know, parts of three seasons at Oregon, and really looked like he had some potential. Kind of played both tight end and H-back. It wasn't unheard of that he would line up in the backfield and even get the occasional carry. It's kind of interesting if you go back and watch film on him. The guy's that talented, you know. They'll line him up at tight end, and then they'll give him a carry out of the backfield. I mean, he just has that much talent, is that versatile that you can do those kind of things with him. Now, I don't foresee him getting a lot of carries in Green Bay, although I wouldn't rule that out. But still, I mean, he goes to the NFL Combine just this past February, and he's among the leaders in, let's see, the 40-yard dash. He ran like a 4.6, which is really good for a tight end. And then I think the jumps, the vertical jump, the broad jump, right among the top. I think he might have been the leader in the vertical jump among all tight ends. 118 inches, something like that. Pardon me, that's the broad jump. I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, regardless here, Colt Lierla, tons and tons of potential. I mean, the Packers ostensibly could have a steal on their hands to be getting this guy, you know, not only as a tryout player, you know. He wasn't drafted. He wasn't an undrafted free agent, or he isn't yet, at least. He's a tryout player. I mean, there is very little risk involved with signing him. Once he makes a 53-man roster, then there's a greater degree of risk because, you know, then trouble could come up down the road, and then you've committed a roster spot to him. And you don't want to see that. But, okay, I mean, let's talk about some of these risks and some of these troubles here as well. Colt Lierla, in his third year at Oregon, his junior year, ends up getting dismissed from the team mid-season, a few games into the year. He's a guy who had a troubled past growing up. If I'm correct, he doesn't live with his birth parents, is it? Don't quote me on that, and perhaps I should do a better job looking up his background. After he gets dismissed from Oregon, ends up getting, just days later or weeks later, ends up getting arrested for cocaine possession. Obviously, I mean, when your goal is to make the NFL, that is not a smart choice. I mean, that's not a smart choice for many, many people using cocaine. So, I mean, it's showing poor judgment and a guy who just doesn't have, a grip on reality, really. And prior to that, back even when he was with the Oregon football team, if you remember the Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings that took place in Connecticut, we're talking over a year ago now, sad thing that happened there, deranged person, shot several children at an elementary school. And Colt Lyerla went on Twitter on some rant and called this a government conspiracy. Didn't think through what he was saying. It's just ridiculous to think that something like that could be a government conspiracy. But you have to sit there and wonder, I mean, how much did drugs take part in his decision to say such a thing or write such a thing? Obviously a guy who's got some demons. Ever since the time he left Oregon and got arrested, he's stayed out of the limelight since then, and he seems to be on the right path. I mean, I was at his interview at the NFL Combine. He spent, I think it was, 10 days in jail, ended up doing, being part of a road cleanup group while he was in jail. And he's actually, stayed out of trouble since that time, or at least, if he's done anything wrong, it's gone under the auspices of the law. I suppose unless you're actually observing him 24/7, I can't say he's done anything wrong, but he hasn't been arrested by anyone or anything like that. And at the NFL Combine, he said all the right things. We posted his Q&A here at Cheesehead TV. Go to the blog. You can check it out. I mean, he talks about getting his life on track, and he was very much open about what happened and what his goals are and where he goes from here. And he's saying all the right things, which is a step in the right direction. He talks about his older brothers being mentors for him, helping him along. And he didn't want to divulge a lot of names, but he says he's gotten help, from other people as well. And everything, to my knowledge, has been good ever since the arrest with Colt Lyerla. So that's good. That's a step in the right direction. So the Packers, they bring him into the rookie minicamp, with no obligation to sign him. But obviously, as far as tryout players go, he's, leaps and bounds above the rest of the tryout players from a simple talent standpoint. This is a guy who probably would have been, I would say, a mid-round draft choice, probably, just from the talent standpoint, had not any of these problems arise. He's got the talent of a mid-round draft choice, maybe even a day two draft choice. I don't know if I would go as high as day one, but potentially as high as day two. So, I mean, here's the guy they're getting as a trial player who could be a third-round draft choice. That's something that the Packers obviously wanted to explore. And, Ted Thompson was asked about Colt Lyerla, and it kind of brought up a lot of memories, I think, of what the Packers did with Johnny Jolly a year ago, who was suspended from the NFL. You know the story by now. Suspended for 3 years, reinstated, comes back, was suspended for drug use, drug possession, dealing drugs, I think, I shouldn't say that. I've heard allegations of that, but nothing was proven from that standpoint, regardless. you know, it's reminiscent of that. The Packers, you know, provided a nice stable environment for Johnny Jolly this past season. Yeah, he's keeping his nose clean and has done everything right since that time. Johnny Jolly's future in Green Bay is kind of uncertain from an injury standpoint, the fact that he was a free agent, but he did a good job to make a comeback. And I don't know. I mean, can the Packers strike it, you know, gold again, so to speak, with a similar situation, not entirely the same, but, you know, providing a stable environment for, you know, I suppose you can say Green Bay is a good place to be. I mean, players can find trouble anywhere, but I think it's just a little bit harder to find it in a place like Green Bay, small town, and there's less in the way of gangs, drugs, those kind of things. But, it, you know, so little risk. I mean, Packers apparently going to make a decision today on who to sign, and the report actually from Rob Domofsky of ESPN, you can go check out the Packers blog at ESPN.com. Packers leaning towards signing Laiola, leaning towards signing him. Haven't made anything official yet. Apparently they wanted to sleep on the decision, but you know they're going to give him very little guaranteed money. I'd be surprised if they even gave him a signing bonus. You know, maybe they do, and maybe it's really small or something like that. I mean, literally, some of the signing bonuses they end up giving were as low as, what, $2,000 to some of the undrafted free agents. I mean, that isn't that much in the world of the NFL. So, you know, if Colt Laiola gets that, I'd be surprised. Oh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe it could be a case where all of a sudden now another team wants to sign him as well, and you know, maybe a signing bonus could factor into it. I don't know. But, you know, Packers going to make a decision today, and everybody wants to know about Colt Laiola. I say go ahead, you know, as long as he's stayed clean, he hasn't been in trouble, you know, ever since the arrest. I say go ahead and do it, because you still have until basically the season starts to continue to monitor the guy. You know, if the Packers end up signing him, they can cut him anytime. June, July, August, mid-training camp, final roster cutdown, and they will have lost nothing but the investment into time in developing him. And that, you know, that time investment, you know, it's not like they're doing not doing the exact same thing with, you know, 20, 30 other guys they're going to cut on the final roster cut down as well. So, I mean, that's hardly a factor when you're talking about a roster size of 90. Very little investment lost. I mean, again, I you know, referenced this earlier. You know, the scare is he makes the 53-man roster, and then he gets in trouble. Then he gets arrested. Then there's a relapse of drug use. Now, all of a sudden, you've invested a roster spot into him. You've invested money into him, weekly NFL paycheck salary investment into him. And then he, you know, is a locker room cancer potentially. All just speculation here at this point, but that's the risk you run with bringing in Colt Laiola and putting him on the 53-man roster. But I mean, like I said, the good thing is the Packers have 3 months to monitor him, watch him, see what he's doing. If he's, you know, being a good teammate, if he's studying hard, and you know, the talent matches what they've been seeing. I mean, boy, oh boy. I mean, it certainly would be nice, I think, to bring him in and give him a look-see, you know, if nothing else. You know, not as if they have to carry him on the 53-man roster, but see how he stacks up to Richard Rodgers, you know, to anybody, all the rest of the tight ends on the roster, to Brandon Bostic, to Ryan Taylor. I mean, heck, if, you know, Ryan Taylor has made the roster the past 3 years here, and has provided very little on offense, albeit, you know, one of the best special teams tight ends on the roster. But, I mean, could you stand an upgrade from that? I would say the Packers maybe could, probably could. So to to think he could be a big part of the Packers offense just based upon the potential he has. It's intriguing, no doubt about it. I say go for it if you're the Packers. You got two open roster spots right now. Give them one. I wouldn't think you'd have to give them much of a signing bonus, if any. I'm sure Colt Lyerla's at the point where, you know, he was basically out of options. Nobody even signed him as an undrafted free agent. You know, he was passed on by all 31 other teams in the NFL. I think he's going to jump at the chance at almost anything at this point. And you just hope he's turned a corner and has turned his life around. People need second chances. You get to third, fourth, fifth chances, and that's when you give up, and they're on their own. The kid hasn't had much direction in his life, and hopefully the Packers could possibly, potentially provide it. Go for it. What else? At rookie minicamp, all the draft choices, Clinton Dix, Davante Adams, the big names, all of them really, you know, come in and are in action in a practice environment for the first time at rookie minicamp. It's rookie minicamp. It's now, you listen to the press conferences from both head coach Mike McCarthy and general manager Ted Thompson this past weekend, and they talk about how they're not going to kill a guy for, a blown assignment in rookie minicamp where it's their first time ever, in a Packers uniform, practicing in front of coaches, et cetera, et cetera. I sitting there following along on Twitter, the beat writers that were there, they all said Davante Adams drops his first pass as a Packer, as in practice. Drops a pass, his first one, first pass he's ever seen in a Packers uniform, he drops. Uh-oh. but you can't really look at it. Pardon me. You can't really look at it like that. I'm sure Davante Adams will be fine. Just cool to see these guys, with the G on their helmet. I wrote a feature on new center Corey Linsley here at Cheesehead TV. You can go check that out at our blog. It's interesting because, center is probably the most unsettled position on the entire Packers roster. And even though Linsley is a fifth round draft choice, he's got a chance to win the starter's job. We've talked about this many, many times. J.C. Tretter is probably going to get first crack at winning it, maybe. Linsley obviously has a chance. They wouldn't have drafted him if they didn't think he did. So he comes in. But what's interesting is, we talked about all the rookies the Packers have in the draft choices, the undrafted free agents, the tryout players. And then just for the simple fact of, or simple exercise of filling out the roster, the Packers bring in some of the inexperienced veterans on the team to take part in rookie minicamp. And these are basically the first-year players, the guys who were maybe on the practice squad last year but never played in an NFL game. And among them is Garth Gerhart, who's been on the Packers practice squad for parts of the past two seasons. So, being around Green Bay for 2 years, he obviously knows the system, knows the offense, maybe not entirely, but you pick things up in 2 years, so he was actually kind of the first string center in drills and things like that. Here Linsley is the only offensive lineman the Packers drafted, obviously thought of more highly than any undrafted free agent they sign, and he can't even make the first team. he was playing second fiddle his rookie minicamp, but that's not to say Corey Linsley can't, climb up the depth chart in short order. He very much can. He's going to have to earn it, but if he shows what the Packers, you know, thought so highly of drafting him for. You know, he'll climb up and maybe even pass Gerhardt on the roster. We'll see. It's way too early to tell right now. You got to let these guys compete and have a chance. And that's what begins this week. So I guess to bring us up to date on the Packers calendar, you know, rookie minicamp is over on Saturday. It concluded. Now the players become integrated into phase two of the team's off-season program that the, you know, the veterans on the team are already in the midst of. Basically, phase two is the individual position workout portion of the off-season, where they basically just practice in position groups, like, you know, all the tight ends get together, all the offensive linemen get together, all the defensive linemen get together. So you're not practicing as a team at this point, but you're practicing in positions and doing those kind of drills and things like that. And they do it piecemeal during the off season. You take baby steps, and you know, so they're in position groups right now. But they're only going to be that way for one more week here. Phase two only lasts one more week. At the end of this week or beginning of next week, they enter phase three, which is the organized team activity portion of the off season. And you start practicing as a team in a team environment, and they're actually open to the public. At least a few of the practices are starting next week. They get the entire offense involved and the entire defense involved and stuff like that. So it's all coming together here, and it'll be interesting to see how all these rookies fit into the new Packers roster, the 2014 edition of the Green Bay Packers. I mean, obviously, you got to look forward to what HaHa Clinton-Dix is providing. I'm very much thinking he'll be part of the starting lineup on day one. You know, I don't know. Maybe the coaching staff will surprise us and make him earn it. I don't know. Maybe they put Sean Richardson out as the starter to begin with and make HaHa Clinton-Dix take it away from him. But I mean, usually with first rounders, they're not scared to put those guys in the starting lineup right away. There's a reason they made them first rounders. I don't know if there's any other rookie on the roster that's going to be a starter right away. Even Devontae Adams, their second round draft choice, you know, he's going to be behind Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. I think he has a chance to pass Jarrett Boykin, but I don't think they're going to do that right away. You know, Jarrett Boykin has proven himself the past two seasons that he can be a big part of the offense. Beyond that, Devontae Adams, you know, I'm sure he'll be involved. It's just a matter of, you know, how much they involve him right away. He'll be part of the rotation this year. He'll be part of the top five wide receivers. I'm pretty confident of that, just from what I've seen from him on tape, which hasn't been a whole lot, but we'll see how Devontae Adams fits in here. And that'll be our focus of, you know, when we talk about OTAs on this show, we'll be talking about how these guys fit in, et cetera, et cetera. You know, with the rookie minicamp, a lot of it was about the tryout players and seeing who can win a job on the Packers, you know, 90-man roster. I think that was one of the interesting storylines to follow. From here, it's all about the 90 guys who are already there and how they can make this team better and hopefully get the Packers back to a Super Bowl. But that'll do it for a Monday morning edition of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for following along with us here, and thank you for your patience as we are broadcasting entirely on the live stream platform and not the Cheesehead TV homepage. Like I said, hopefully we'll have that fixed in not long. But anyway, we'll see you later, folks. Have a good Monday. We'll be back on Wednesday. Again, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time is when the live show airs, podcasting it later. But we'll talk to you then. And actually, hopefully, nothing set in stone here, but I am hopeful to have an actual Packers player on the show on Wednesday morning. Keep your fingers crossed. I hope to have a Packer on the show Wednesday morning. I'm in the works of doing it. I can't say who in case it ends up falling through, but keep that in mind. I leave you today with a song called Mental Floss by Keller Williams on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.